It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Now to the Fox Valley. This is a hub for the paper industry with a long tradition, Wisconsin being the nationwide leader in the number of mills here. Green Bay Packaging opened a new one last year, achieving net zero water validation. We check in on its sustainability practices with your questions. Call in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Lisa Bauer-Lotto is Corporate Director of Environment and Sustainability at Green Bay Packaging. Lisa, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. And on behalf of Green Bay Packaging, I want to thank you for the opportunity to share on our business.
Yes. So let's talk about the company's footprint first. Green Bay Packaging, in the midst of this growth and expansion, why build new paper mills at a time when other mills are shutting down, especially here in Wisconsin?
I think our company in the third generation has been here since the 30s, and it was a traditional steeping in the history of the family to retain and invest and continue with the community with Green Bay. So the investment in the new mill was to help also for our customer base and to be responsive to market and provide the quality products for many more generations to come.
You're also doing this around the country. When you build or refurbish a plant, say, whether it's in Fort Worth or Tulsa or here, you know, Green Bay or Ohio, are you able to change systems enough to significantly reduce emissions?
We look at designing to include the environment. So we do take into when we can, because sometimes that can be challenging, but we do put energy efficiencies, and we also do water reductions and recycling on site to reduce those footprints. We also do internalize our scrap system, so there's less particulate matter. So we do things to improve our footprint, including wastewater treatment plants throughout our business footprint to making our products.
Let's look at that wastewater treatment in Green Bay. The new mill is a certified net zero water user. What does the certification mean?
Well, the certification, you know, is a third-party verification that our system is what we say it is, and it allows our customer base and transparency in the citizenry that reduces and reclaims the water and replaces otherwise fresh water from the intake from the city or from the Great Lakes, so that also reduces the footprint. So it is something that gives assurance that our commitment to sustainability, and with our customer base too, it assures them what our alignment is with our sustainability achievements.
Can you walk us through the process and what the proximity to the Green Bay Metropolitan Sewerage District, what that means to this operation?
So with the net zero water, with our wastewater municipality, which is about a half mile, quarter mile down the road, that was part of the logistics that provided this opportunity. It takes water, our water, we have no intake or discharge directly to the river, and so we...
The Fox River.
Mm-hmm. To the Fox River, yes. And we are able, when we send our discharge to them, we treat it with an anaerobic digester because the strength would be too strong. But we also send it to them, and then we have a split stream when they discharge it to the river. They're actually sending water to us, and we are taking more than 1 million gallons a day on that. And so that helps us reuse. So we take wastewater and further treat it to allow us to reuse it in the paper making process instead of fresh water. So we have on site a lot of treatment, anaerobic digesting, reverse osmosis, and ultrafiltration that allows us to do that. So that's what that reclaimed. And the net zero water is the water balance. So we are taking alternate water of that reclaimed water as an alternate source to what would be fresh water from the city treated or pulled from the Great Lakes. So we're actually using more of that than we are the other in the way of how it is balanced. And that's what that net zero water validation through certification, they come on site and through all the, it's actually measured through pump meters.
And you've had that certification, that validation for over a year now. Is the system working as you intended? Have you encountered any challenges?
Yes, it is working as we expected. There was some shakedown, obviously, when you have something of this scale and size, and we're the first, you know, to do this at a mill, especially like in North America. We have the, you know, the, like you said, the first validation of it in the world. It is working. I mean, we have a 30% less water per ton of product produced, and it allows us to be able to recycle and do all those achievements on site with it. And it also reduces our BOD, biological oxygen demand, and suspended solids because of the efficiency of our on-site treatment and the municipality's treatment. So we have a significant, you know, probably 70-80% reduction of sediment that would otherwise go to the Fox River is not, because it's being collected through these systems. So it is working. It allows us to use that reclaimed water in our process, and it's been like last year was our first full year, mm-hmm. and that's where we can identify a lot of these achievements and measure on a year-to-year basis.
Lisa Bauer-Lotto with us, Corporate Director of Environment and Sustainability at Green Bay Packaging, as we talk about a Wisconsin paper mill reducing its environmental footprint. You can join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Lisa, you mentioned the Fox River. Of course, decades ago, paper mills drew water from the Fox River, discharged, used water back into the river, and these discharges contained PCBs, the toxic chemicals, and that prompted the massive cleanup effort that has concluded. What is your mill doing differently from the past practices that caused these environmental problems?
Well, ours is a 100% recycled mill, so we didn't necessarily have additives or certain things that would directly contribute to it. It was more of a pass-through on that. We do a rigorous, we have a supply chain integrity, so we review our raw materials for those particulates of different chemistry, emerging chemistry, to ensure that it's not coming in. And we evaluate so we're not intentionally adding either in our chemistry or any applications and coatings.
You had mentioned sediment in the Fox River. I think it was TSS, total suspended solids. Why do we need to monitor this type of sediment in the Fox River? What is the concern there?
The concern is whenever you have additional loading, it can impair, which is this impaired waterway. Fox River's impaired waterway for TSS and BOD. It can inhibit or be detrimental for the water fish, but also the biodiversity of the water to have that. So when you have that sediment there, it can add more challenges to that environment. So when we can remove it, when we do remove it, it is a benefit to the water resource to the community.
And you see that happening now with, what is the connection to pulp and paper processes with sediment? Help us explain that.
Well, it depends on the process, and every mill is different, and every industry is different in how they use the water. To your point, early
sure.
when you draw the water in and use it and you return it, how you use it, if you're using it as a pressure water seal and you don't really add, or you're bringing it through your paper making and you treat it in a wastewater treatment plant. So there's different processes, and depending upon if it's contact with the fiber or how that is made, because there's some mills up along here that have a craft where they are digesting the fiber. So some of those residuals can be taken through. They have wastewater treatment, but some can continue on depending on their size and the tertiary or secondary treatment level of removal. So it's a process contact.
I see. You've talked about the paper mill becoming the first of its kind in the world for net zero certification. What does this standard mean for the future of the paper industry up and down the Fox River?
Well, it provides, a spearhead opportunity for people to replicate it. It may be at the same scale or smaller scale internally. And so it's a goalpost. It gives the opportunity that when one does it, the others can look to see if the technology and availability for their fit to do it as well.
Lisa Bauer-Lotto, Corporate Director of Environment and Sustainability at Green Bay Packaging, producing materials that are used to make shipping boxes. Call in now with a question about paper mills and industry practices. Call 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We explore the sustainability practices of Green Bay Packaging, located in a papermaking nexus, the Fox River Valley, home to a number of paper mills. Call in with comments on the sustainability of the manufacturing processes. Call in with a question about papermaking, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Lisa Bauer-Lotto is Corporate Director of Environment and Sustainability at Green Bay Packaging and stays with us. Lisa, walk us through the process. Green Bay's mill taking recycled products from 99% water to create container board. Giving us a visual of this process, how does it work?
Well, we get old corrugated containers either from curbside or for businesses. They come in bales, and then they are broken down just like a hay bale into the process, and water is added, heat, and some chemistry to help break it down. And then we add additional chemistry for the fibers to align to get the strength. And that is pulped and mushed into like an oatmeal. Then it is put on the wire, shaking wire on the front of the machine, which is 99% water, 1% fiber. And then it continues like on a conveyor belt, goes through various roll presses and other dryers, and it compacts that down to removing the water. So then you end up with the paper at the end with like 8% moisture. And that's how that process is made.
Those bales, I would imagine, have to not have any contaminants as well. They have to be the material you need in order to recycle. Is that a challenge?
We have, through our procurement system, there's different grade qualities, and we have a higher grade quality that requires less than 2% contaminants. And so we watch for that because that makes our process less efficient, and there's more waste generation, and that's so we do have a program in place for that.
Let's bring on a call. Jane in Suamico has a question. Jane, hi, go ahead.
Appreciate Green Bay Packaging and all they've done for the Green Bay community and that they're expanding and bringing jobs here. I do have a question about PFAS forever chemicals. I know that surfaces of cardboard can be slick, they can be made slick, and that those chemicals used to make them slick have contained PFAS in the past. And I'm wondering what processes are used for monitoring PFAS.
Jane, thank you. Yes, Lisa, go ahead.
A good question. Well, the PFAS in ours for the corrugated has been actually out for some time. That they did at one point for coatings for water resistant and slip resistance and stuff, but those have been transitioned out for some time. And so a lot of the mills have. I don't believe there's any mill in Wisconsin using it up to this point because they've transitioned out. It was used also for other packaging purposes.
How recently was it phased out?
It's, you know, the industry for manufacturing has phased out with the longer chain to the shorter change and then to the different countermeasures. So it's been, it depends on your use. It could be a couple years. It could have been a year. It could have been, it kind of depends on how you used it in the packaging. Because it may have phased out a lot sooner to just even the manufacturer.
How much of an issue is PFAS in the pulp and paper industry right now?
I think we're monitoring it. You know, as an industry, we're conscious of the emerging chemistry, and we monitor it in our different ingredients and stuff like that. It's definitely something we are watching, you know, similar to other things we're implementing self-industry standards to reduce it and minimize it. So we're very active in watching on that. And the EPA recently here in the last year for the effluent limits guide had determined based on data submitted and analytical data that they are not authoring a wastewater guide for because of the lower amounts compared to other industries and such. So it's something that we're very conscious of and
self-monitoring within the industry.
In our products, in our water, and following. It's a very emerging topic, just even on the analytical, because that in itself is trying to keep up with the awareness of it, and sometimes that technology of monitoring, because some of the standards limits are lower than the detection limit of some of the analytical methods, so it's catching up. There's a little bit of a catch-up going on.
Lisa Bauer-Lotto with us, Corporate Director of Environment and Sustainability at Green Bay Packaging, as we look at the processes of making paper. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Lisa, I want to turn to energy. Green Bay Packaging makes 100% recycled cardboard, and you use natural gas boilers to avoid coal. Could renewable energy sources like wind or solar be used to power the mill's needs?
So the wind and solar, you know, is difficult to energize and provide the power at the level it needs for sun and wind because the technology for storage is not there at this time. Mm. So you have to have so much available at the time it starts up. And so and in time, that technology will be there. And I'm sure the power in the paper industry will look at those when those opportunities become available. We do at our mill here have a renewable energy on site. We are capturing the gas off the anaerobic digester and we are utilizing it. We put a generator in last year, so we are using that renewable biogas to power the effluent treatment plant on site. So we're one of the first that I'm aware of that are capturing all of it, fully capturing it. Others, industries typically flare it off because it's easier. Mm. So that was something that our company did because it was the right thing to do, and that doesn't mean it's always easier, the less expensive route. We also use that renewable biogas to replace natural gas, not in 4%. So we are utilizing as much on-site as we can.
Tim in Hollandale called in to ask you, has anyone looked at using hemp instead of trees for paper production?
Yes, there's always looking for alternative. You know, we have trade association, but we also have universities and stuff looking into always the hemp. There's bamboo. There's other different type of seagrass, straw, always looking at ways to utilize other renewable fibers for that. But, you know, also the trees, when we are tree farms, we are tree planters, just like a crop, just like a corn crop. We plant it like a crop because we are dependent on it and we're a steward of that as well. But yes, we are always looking at other alternatives as well. And the new mill here uses mixed paper, which is a newer innovation across the paper industry, where that is office paper newsprint that otherwise don't have markets to put into a product. Mm-hmm. We are incorporating it into our product.
I want to turn to your work in Fort Worth, Texas, where your new super plant is under construction, expected to start operation this year. Why build the plant in Texas rather than Wisconsin?
Our central is in Wisconsin, but we are throughout the Midwest. We have 4,500 employees, 36 locations, and that's part of some of our market supplying to our customer base. And when you can have that more localized and not the logistics, you know, so that helps supply that. So that plant's on schedule to be, it's completing construction here. It should be open shortly.
Will
to serve our customer base.
Will that super plant have additional sustainability practices that you see up here in Green Bay?
Yes, with the wastewater treatment, you know, for the removal and on the water, there's also the scrap system internalized, and there's other energy efficiencies as well. And so we always, on our capital projects, whenever we can, put those energy efficiencies in. Like with the mill up here, we implemented a lot of them that avoid electricity of 13,900 homes per year. So we do look at all the top end technology at the time that we build to put in those, reduce the energy and also energy technologies.
Lisa, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Lisa Bauer-Lotto is Corporate Director of Environment and Sustainability at Green Bay Packaging. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.